and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. And again, we have the wonderful Dr. Ted Brower on the show with us. Got a good connection again today, so it's been a blessing. And, yeah, we got a lot of interesting news for you guys, so I hope you guys are ready. How's everything going today over there with you, Dad?
Well, good. We're in Zurich, Switzerland today. We decided to do the tour of Zurich today, which has been a lot of fun. And we also interviewed several Swiss, basically, nationals, people who were born in Switzerland, to ask them about the election with Hillary and Donald Trump. And surprisingly enough, everybody wants Trump to be president. They said that Hillary's a thief, she belongs in jail, that they don't even understand why she's running, that it's like a giant comedy act over here in Switzerland with these guys thinking that Hillary Clinton wants to be president, and that she belongs in prison, and that she's basically a witch. They told me she was a witch. I mean, like a real witch. So apparently the word on the internet is out that this woman's a fourth-degree witch, and she's bad news. But I guarantee you, oh, by the way, did you see where Cruz said that he may think about coming back into the race again if he wins Nebraska? I mean, the guy is just, yeah. I cannot even believe this guy even breathes air and doesn't stop lying. It's the most crazy thing I've ever seen in my entire life, son. I guess he wants more people to give him money again to try to get him back into the race again so he can have a bigger war chest for the next scam he wants to pull. Unbelievable.
That may very well be what he's trying to do. He's trying to get some type of people to fund him or back him with more cash. I don't know, but I know after yesterday, obviously Trump won Nebraska and West Virginia, all the delegates. So he's at 1134 on his delegate nominations. He needs 1237, so he is literally right at 100, 103 to be exact.
How many states are left, Austin? I haven't been paying attention to it.
Let me see here. There's a couple more of them. We have May 17th, we have Oregon. Then May, where are we at here? May 24th, we have Washington. Then I think in June, we have California and, like, Montana. I don't have those in front of me right now. But there's almost 450 delegates left, and he needs basically exactly 100.
Oh, so, he's got it wrapped up. He's got
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
That's right. For June, he's got California, Montana, Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota, and that wraps it up in June.
He'll have it done before, probably by the end of this month, I would imagine. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
I'm glad Trump is doing so well.
He'll give him like 70. So, yeah, after this month, I mean, as soon as he even touches California, even if he doesn't win all of it, I don't know if California is a winner-take-all, but even if he gets just a partial of California, he's still going to win.
I want to do a story real quick, and this is really one of these stories that really bothers me, and it's a kid who died. And I don't even like talking about this stuff, but this woman basically was a heroin whore. She had a child, and then the great aunt adopted this kid, and then the great aunt's husband died about 5 years ago, so the kid decided he wanted to reach out to his biological mother. And the biological mother decided to pick him up for a fun weekend when she went to a Motel 8, and they started mainlining heroin, and they forced the boy to take the heroin when he's 16 years old, and he overdosed. And I wanted to address this because this woman and her grandma and her mother were both heroin addicts, drug addicts, both in and out of prisons, and they basically killed this kid. And you know, it just lets me realize that there's people out there that really shouldn't breed. And, you know, and when they breed, these children should be completely taken away, and the Department of Family Services didn't protect this kid. And I saw this story, and I wanted to bring this up, and I want to bring up this issue again about this horrible problem that we have with heroin and drug overdose in the United States with illegal drugs. Of course, the prescription drugs kill more people, but the heroin epidemic, because of what's going on with the drugs that are coming in through Turkey from the Afghanistan, is a major, major problem. So listen to me, friends, and this is something I've got to tell you. My wife's half brother, he basically died last year from a heroin overdose at the age of 36. And so every time I read something like this, it really, really hits home with me. And then we had another lady who sent us an email today on Facebook and said that she had been a heroin addict and she's coming off heroin now. She's having all these horrible panic attacks. And listen to me, friends, this is a really, really bad way to go. You know, stay away from opiates. I mean, if you can't handle stuff like that, I mean, don't even try. And doctors, we talked about this last night, really need to get continuing education on this, because opiates are rough. I mean, I know a few years ago I had to have back surgery, and I got a prescription of a really, really mild form of I guess it would be, well, what would you call it, Austin? I guess it'd be morphine. A real tiny, tiny dose. Tiny dose, like half a gram or something like that. Tiny, tiny, tiny. And I remember I had to take it for this excruciating pain that I was in for a couple of days. But I noticed something. By the third day, the pain wasn't that bad, but I was looking for the morphine. And I thought, wow, this stuff is really wicked. This is some bad stuff. And so I immediately quit taking it. And I've learned over the years, though, that not everybody can do that. And you've got to stay away from things that make you that addicted that fast. And so please stay away from the opiates. Use the cod liver oil. Use the joint rebuilding formula. Use the joint pain relief formulas, whatever we call this stuff. I forgot what we call it. And just use your use common sense to avoid this. We brought an entire bottle of cod liver oil with us over here to Germany a couple of weeks ago when we got here. The bottle's almost completely empty now. And that's the one thing that I make sure I take every single day. I get one to two tablespoons of cod liver oil every single day. It is amazing what it does as far as my joints, how much better I feel. So, just, you know, listen to me, friends, please. You know, this is a sad, sad story. This lady decided to go ahead and have a heroin party with her 16-year-old son and shoot him up and killed him. And of course, now the real mother, the adopted mother, the biological mother killed her own son. But the adopted mother who loved him, who raised him from an infant, she said that she wanted him to go to college and make something out of his life. And she cannot believe that the biological mother has killed the son. And I hope they give her 20 years in prison for this. I hope she never gets out personally. And this is the kind of garbage that we have in the United States now from this drug, just culture that we've been brought up in now because of Afghanistan and because of the pot that's being pushed on people. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think pot should be something that should be a felony. I don't think people should be going to jail for pot. It's my opinion. I think pot should be able to be used if people have cancer or other types of health problems. I have no problem with that. But the thing about it is, you know, when they start pushing pot on little boys that are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and they arrest the brain development, that's where I've got the real, real issue, because those kids are not making good decisions. And it is a gateway drug. There's no doubt about that. It leads to the use of the harder and harder drugs. But again, I don't believe people should be going to prison for pot at all. I think it should be fine, like a traffic ticket, and be the end of it, like a misdemeanor, and be done with it. That's how I look at pot. I've never smoked pot. I have no interest in smoking pot. I was one of the only people ever who went to Florida State University who didn't smoke pot. And I had no interest in it. I was an athlete. I was a bodybuilder. I won the Mr. Tallahassee contest back in 1976, 40 years ago. And I mean, I still train 6 days a week. And I just didn't have any interest in putting drugs in my body and that weren't going to be beneficial. Because remember, whether you're pro pot, no pot, four pot, whatever, it's going to run your estrogen levels up. You're going to get gynecomastia from it in most cases. It's going to feminize you. It's going to make you kind of cry a little bit if you're a guy. I mean, if you get too much of it, I mean, it's going to do it. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's got a kid who's 16 years old. He's a doper, and he's a pothead all the time, pot, 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 pot. And his father has threatened him now for 4 years to send him away to like a boarding school to try to get him straightened out, but won't do it. So now the kid thinks he's going to be sent away, but he smokes so much pot all the time. He lays in bed. He's 16 years old and cries himself to sleep every night because he has so much estrogen. I mean, you know, guys, it messes with the brain, okay, when you're young. Now, if you're a 50-year-old guy or 40-year-old guy or 30-year-old guy and you decide you want to smoke pot and you live in a state where it's legal, I could absolutely care less. I could absolutely care less what you do. It's not that big of a deal if you do it occasionally, I don't think, though I've never done it, but I'm not going to promote it, and especially for kids that are still having brain development. It's just not healthy for that. Also, yesterday at the lounge when we were in Como, we spoke to two guys from San Francisco who were college friends together, traveling together. They were like in their 60s. They were not brothers. And so I'm quite confident I'm quite confident they were living an alternative lifestyle. But I talked to them for about 20 or 30 minutes, and they were really, really nice. They weren't, they didn't act, if I didn't know them together, traveling together, and staying in the same room and all that, I would never have even expected an alternative lifestyle. In fact, I even asked them if they were brothers, and they said no. And they're from San Francisco, and they told me that they were voting for Donald Trump. And
really?
I laughed. Yeah, I know. You didn't expect that. I didn't either, Austin. And it was so funny because I engaged them, and I said, well, what about your other San Francisco friends? They said, well, you don't understand it. When you get on the coast, they said, in that area, it's extremely liberal. But the further you go inland in California, it becomes very, very, very conservative. And they said, the problem is the liberals are so stupid out there, they believe that Hillary is the candidate, even though she's a criminal and a thief. Because she's a liberal. That's why they're voting for her. It has nothing to do with her values or anything she's ever done. It's just because she's a Democrat and she's a liberal, basically a communist. They want her in the White House just because she's pro-gay. Period. That's it. That's what they're doing. And so it's kind of sad when you stop and think about that, because they're not taking the candidate for who the candidate is. You know, I've never heard Donald Trump say anything bad about gay people. I'm personally indifferent about gay people as long as they leave me alone. I don't care. I'm always as curved. I'm cordial to them too. I don't care. I mean, just keep me out of their loop. That's all I care about. Don't try to involve me or my family. And that's how I look at it. I mean, it's not their fault if they were, you know, chemically altered in utero by, you know, estrogens in the food supply and all the things that have happened to so many of these guys. And so that's how I look at all of this. And I've told my listeners that many, many times. That's how I view that. And so I'm pretty tolerant about all that. But the truth of the matter is, if you're a liberal and you're listening to this show tonight, which I doubt very seriously, I have one liberal listening. I don't think I've got a liberal anywhere listening on the show. You know, think about what you're doing. You know, think about the best thing that the country can have. You know, we don't need another Bush. We don't need another Clinton. We don't need another liberal. Look what Obama has done by himself. Look what Bush did by himself. Look what Clinton did, the other Clinton, by himself. Look what CIA Bushy did. Listen to the watch. Look what they've done. For 30 years now, they've basically ransacked the United States of America. And it's time for it to stop. And so we've got to get somebody who's not a political insider into the system to try to fix it. Is Donald Trump going to be perfect? No. Is he going to make the country perfect again? And the country never was perfect, by the way. But is he going to make it better? Probably. But if the bankers decide to hammer him, they're just going to contract the M1 money supply, raise the discount rate, raise the interest rates, and then everybody's going to have a hard time borrowing money again, and we'll go into a massive recession, depression. They're going to blame it all on Trump. That's all they've got to do. Or they can just drop the reserve currency of the United States and go with the yuan out of China, do a new reserve currency. Then we all go into a massive, massive depression. And until we get rid of the international banking influence, it's simply not going to make any difference. Another story I have, the lady was in Washington, D.C., 80-year-old grandmother, if you saw this or not, her house was broken into, and her 75-year-old husband was being beaten to death with a crowbar, and she basically grabbed the .38 pistol that her husband had given her for her birthday, and unloaded inside this guy and shot this guy dead, killed him on the spot, and dropped him. Deputy said that Stephen Shepard, 25, attacked Leland Mold after breaking into the couple's home to steal drugs. KOMO reported that when Shepard encountered Barb Moles, he said one word as she was aiming the gun at him. He said, gun. Moles, the grandmother of 8 and the great-grandmother of 3, pulled the trigger 4 times and 3 bullets hit the mark, KOMO reported. I was just intent upon stopping him, she told the station, which, by the way, is the correct thing to say. I didn't have any other thought in my head. I just knew I had to stop him. And this man is, the Shepherd had already, he's an ex-con, already spent time in prison for robbery, and her husband is now in the hospital in stable condition. And I remember when I took my concealed weapons permit many, many years ago, I remember the guy who was teaching us, he said, you never tell a police officer if you have to shoot somebody to stop them that you are shooting to kill them. You don't say that. Just say, I shot to stop him because I was in fear for my life. He said, you never say, I shot to kill this guy. Because quite frankly, if you're shooting to stop him and you unload 4 hydroshocks in his chest with a .45, you're going to kill him anyhow. But you were shooting to stop him. And always remember, the words that you use if you're under investigation or something like this can either indict you or let you walk away. You got to be very, very careful when something like this happens. In fact, I suggest if something like that did happen, you just keep your mouth shut and call an attorney. That's what I recommend. That's what I recommend. Because, you know, the reality is they can twist what you say. They can twist what you mean. They can make you sign stuff you don't mean. And you don't want to be involved in any of that. It's always best before you're being investigated to make sure that you talk to an attorney and have an attorney present during that investigation. And guys, I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving any legal advice, but I'm giving some really good advice. And so please, just the same thing with DUIs, it's all of this stuff. You know, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You know, do you understand those rights? They're going to ask you. They're going to Miranda you. Hopefully, of course, nowadays they don't even do that much anymore. But they're going to let you know in advance. If you say anything that they can use against you, they're going to use it. So please be aware of that whenever something like this happens. If you're involved in a shooting and you're having to defend yourself, just be quiet, get an attorney involved, make your statement to the attorney, let the attorney talk to the police officers. That's how you do it. It's basically, he's your mouthpiece. And you just say, you know, guys, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you guys. This is a horrible thing that's just happened. You know, I need an attorney immediately. And then that's it. That's all you got to say. And they'll understand. I mean, especially if you had to just shoot somebody. Because the truth is, guys, you can't allow yourself to be put into a situation where you're going to give evidence against yourself. It just doesn't make any sense. Our Constitution protects us from that. What do you think, Oz?
Well, you're exactly right. And the problem is, a lot of times when you're in a situation like that with very, very high stress, you may not know exactly what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. So a lot of times it's best just to not say anything, like you said, and say you'd like to have the advice of your attorney present. You know, I'm defending my life. I was scared for my life. I just wanted to stop him, but I really need the attorney here if I'm going to answer any more questions about this investigation. And that's really it. And honestly, if the situation was called for and you used, you know, force appropriately, then there shouldn't be an issue. Most of the time, they're not even going to book you or arrest you. They may call you back later. But obviously, as an article that I talked about last week where the guy broke into his garage and the guy was running away from his garage and the dude ran out his back door and shot the guy twice running down the alley away from him, that's a different story. That's why I told you guys, don't fall for that. Don't get involved in that. If somebody's running away from your house, you can't just chase after them and gun them down in the street when they're running away from you. That's not going to work. Doesn't matter if you say anything or not, you're going to go to jail at that point. So just,
well, I'm going to give you some other advice too that I didn't know about. And this is something that happened to us years ago. We live out in the country. And we live on an easement. And you know, when the road in front of our homes, everybody's homes basically is an easement, and everybody owns the road in front of their house. And years ago, we were having people coming down there and smoking dope and stuff like that on the front of the property, and we needed to get a gate in. And so I remember we put a gate up on the property and just told everybody we're going to put an opener on it. And, but, you know, just everybody get used to it. But we don't want people driving in the driveway anymore and coming up to the house and, you know, and doing mischievous things, you know. And I remember the neighbors went berserk. I could tell you the story, guys, but it would take too long. I mean, to say the neighbors went berserk is the ultimate understatement of reality here. I mean, the neighbors went insane. Three of them were 100% for the gate. Three more was a private road like six people live on in the back. Three who never have anybody drive across their property or smoke dope on their docks. They basically thought that we don't want a gate. And so they went berserk. It ended up in this big legal mess. And I remember the sheriff told me, he said, even if they tear your gate down, you can't physically stop them even if it's on your property. You have to videotape it, and we'll come in and we'll arrest them, or you can take them to civil court. But you can't do any type of pulling a gun on them to stop them or anything, even on your own property. You can't do it. You'll be arrested if you do that. Now, Austin, you and I both know that we didn't know that to start when that happened. I thought if somebody was damaging your property, that you had the right to protect the property. But you don't have the right to use lethal force to protect your property. You don't. You can't do it. You can't even brandish the weapon on your own property and aim it at somebody to try to get them to stop. I thought you could do that. At least not in the state of Florida you can. Now in Texas, maybe in some of the ranch lands you could probably do that. But this isn't the Wild West, guys. And we were told basically to videotape it, show it to the sheriff, and if they weren't going to do anything, we'd have to take it to civil court. And it turned into a giant brouhaha mess. It was in court for 4 years. 4 years with title insurance companies involved. It was a big mess. And finally, we got the gate. And so, you know, it was all over. But nobody can believe what we went through to have that gate. And it was on our property because the other neighbors didn't want to have the gate on the easement. And the guys who didn't want the gate had their own ingress and egress on a different road. Didn't even have to even use the road. They could go out a different way. But they didn't want to use their road. They want to use our property for their road because they said it had been grandfathered in, which it had not been. They'd never had a written easement for it. And it was it turned into a giant mess. And I tell you guys, you don't realize how tied we are now in the United States because of different laws that have been done and how we really can't protect ourselves the way we thought we could. So when Austin says, if someone breaks into your house and that you pull a gun on them, and they turn around and they run out the front door and they're running down the alleyway carrying your TV set.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can't shoot them. You cannot shoot them. You can't shoot them in the leg. You can't shoot them to stop them. You can't do anything to them. You can probably tackle them. You can probably do that, you know, and do that. But you can't use deadly force on them. You cannot do that. You just have to call the police and let them run away and hope you got them on videotape and hope they don't drop the TV or whatever. And am I shooting straight here with this on?
Oh, yeah. Am I right? It goes with vehicles, guys. If somebody grabs your keys, your car, or breaks in your car in the middle of the night and is driving out of the driveway and you come outside and they're taking off in it, you cannot just start discharging your weapon into the vehicle. They will charge you with negligent discharge of a firearm and improper discharge of a firearm with intent to do great bodily harm. You cannot do that. It does not matter if it's your vehicle or not.
And if you kill the person, you're going to be charged with manslaughter.
The only way,
if not second or third degree murder.
Yep, the only way that I was told that it would be okay in this situation is if you had, say, like a family member or a child in the vehicle and they were stealing your car and you discharged your weapon, say, at the tires to try and disable the vehicle to prevent them from leaving, or if you had a clear shot of the individual, obviously the situation would dictate that. But because at that point they had intent to do bodily harm against another person and was basically exhibiting a forcible felony against another human being, at that point you could discharge your firearm. But stuff, vehicles, you know, motorcycles, TVs, stuff like that, no, you can't just shoot somebody because they're stealing their stuff. So I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's definitely something that most people don't realize at first. And then when they get their weapon permit or they buy their first shotgun, they're all gung-ho. You know, if somebody breaks in my house, I'm going to shoot them. Well, yeah, if they're breaking in your house. But, you know, a lot of times the scenario doesn't play out the way you think it does. And a lot of times as soon as they hear a 12-gauge rack or a flashlight turn on, they're out that front door. So you better make sure that you calm your nerves down and don't just start unloading a magazine into them when they're running down the alleyway.
Well, and the thing about it is that people need to realize if you shoot somebody, it's never going to be what you think it's going to be. Look at Zimmerman. Look at that mess with Zimmerman. I mean, you know, that, of course, he was defending himself because, you know, Travon Martin was beating the holy living crap out of him, you know, and Zimmerman was the neighborhood watch guy, and Zimmerman should have just called for backup immediately, but Travon Martin was like a 6 foot tall, 17 year old black thug is what he was, and he trained in martial arts, no less. And he had Zimmerman down on the ground beating the holy living yak out of him, and busting his head open, and so he reached in his pocket, and he was pocket carrying. Apparently he had a gun that was already chambered, and just discharged, I think, one round into Travon Martin and killed him. Now, you know, this is ridiculous that this whole thing happened to start with. I mean, the Zimmerman kind of precipitated the whole thing, but Travon Martin precipitated it too. But you can't allow yourself to be put into situations like that. It's easier if no one's breaking into anything or nobody's doing anything. Just call 911 and get the cops out there. Now, if it turned around, the kid decided to attack you, that's different. And that's why Zimmerman was acquitted. Because in the state of Florida, you can defend yourself if somebody's trying to do you great bodily harm. And quite frankly, he should never have been charged for that crime because of what happened. That's the truth. He should never have been charged because Travon Martin jumped him. The only reason that he got charged with it because Obama's White House got involved with the state attorney general's offices and had the charges filed. That's what happened. Because initially there was no charges filed in the state of Florida because we have very, very good gun defense regulations in the state of Florida where we can defend ourselves and we can now discharge the weapon. Before, a couple of years ago, you couldn't discharge the weapon to try to stop a crime. In other words, if somebody was about to rob you or rob somebody else, you couldn't pull your gun out and discharge a round into the ground, into the grass, and say, stop or I'll shoot. You couldn't do that. Let them know you were serious. You just had to pull the gun out and shoot them, because if you pull that gun out and you did not discharge that gun, you were charged, you were put in jail for 3 years for brandishing a weapon. You remember that, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, so there was a crazy law. And so finally, they finally, because too many people were going to jail trying to stop stuff without shooting people, and finally they changed the law, and they said, wait, but we can't be doing this to people. People are trying not to shoot other people. They're trying to discharge a weapon into the ground, and, you know, we're putting them in jail for that because they're trying to stop a felony. We can't be doing that. So they finally changed that law. So we've got really good gun laws in the state of Florida now. I'm really glad I live here in this state. Of course, I think I'd rather, be, from a gun standpoint, be in Montana. But, you know, Montana is pretty much as just, we'll do what you want to do. It doesn't make any difference as long as you don't shoot people. But that's how I look at the whole thing. But so be very careful with weapons. Use them in a very safe manner. Make sure you train with them on a regular basis. Make sure you know your gun, because what you don't want to do is try to figure out how to chamber it. I remember I shot a different 223 the other day. We were out training. I had not trained with a weapon before, and it got jammed, and I couldn't figure out how to unjam it. The guy started fussing at me. He goes, you need to be trained on this weapon where you come out and can train tactically with it. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, but I'm in the middle of this. You have to show me how to clear this thing. And he did. But the point was, he was 100% right. But see, that would not be my go-to weapon in the event something happened. I wouldn't do that. There's too many other options. You know, so that's my whole thing. If an intruder comes in is a Sega shotgun with a 20-round drum, double lock buckshot, that's my go-to gun, because that's the gun that you're not going to have to worry about how close you get. And plus, like you said, Austin, once that thing gets racked and they hear it, they're going to know real quick that this is not the house they're supposed to be in right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Switching gears here over towards San Francisco, this is interesting. Now, beginning on June 7th, next month, FEMA is colluding with what's called Cascadia Rising 2016 and preparing for a devastating earthquake followed by a tsunami on the northwest coast of America that has scientists and other experts asking not if it will come, but when it will come. And remember, guys, about 2 weeks ago, I talked about how my father-in-law lives in Ecuador as a missionary, and it has been horrendous down there with the horrible earthquakes they had. Then they had the other one that came up, I think, what, in China or Japan shortly after that. And then basically, if you look at the numbers from, you know, the earthquake, the San Francisco earthquake, I think in 1906, it followed the same exact path. We had an issue in Ecuador in 1905, then we had another one up there in China and Japan at the beginning of 1906. If I'm not mistaken, and then in April of 1906, we had the San Francisco one. If you guys are in California, if you're in the San Francisco area, be very aware of what's going on right now and be prepared for anything, because, you know, FEMA doesn't just do stuff without prior knowledge. They usually know what's going on before it happens. And, you know, to me, it's kind of like this is kind of a prior warning to let everybody know, hey, what's going on? FEMA is preparing. They're stated they're preparing for 10,000 deaths along the northwest coast of America in the region of Cascadia subduction zone due to the quake and resulting tsunami. The Cascadia Rising will be the most complex disaster scenario that emergency management and public safety officials have ever faced, and the drills will feature preparation for a 9.0 magnitude quake along the Cascadia subduction zone and the resulting tsunami that experts believe will devastate much of the northwest coast. Now, again, I have no idea if any of this is going to happen. I'm not trying to speculate. I'm not telling you. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of stuff that's pointing to the fact that there's more than likely going to be some type of earthquake there in the near future. If it happens, I mean, I'm not trying to be right, but I'm giving everybody that I know of a heads up out in California. If this is accurate, if this is going to happen, please be prepared for it and have preparations and the ability to get out of town, and also a good, healthy bug-out bag with a good amount of stored food, you know, food bars, whatever you guys prefer, with water filtration. Because when these things happen, guys, you know how they are over there. They're fast and they're relentless. They show no mercy. And this is the second time now I've heard about California getting prepped for another earthquake in the last couple weeks. So I thought I would just address that and bring it to everybody's attention. You guys can do what you want with it, but I just wanted to let everybody know.
Well, think about it, Austin. When they were doing the 9/11 drill, okay, we had a real 9/11 attack. When they were doing the Boston Marathon drill, we had a real Boston Marathon attack. When they were doing the Sandy Hook drill, you know, we had a Sandy Hook attack. And see, the thing that these guys do, they like to have these response teams in place in case the drill goes hot, which they can make go hot with false flags instantaneously. Remember, the United States has earthquake weapons. We've talked about this repeatedly on the show. They can cause seismic change by just basically sending waves into the crust which will shift it. And we've had this technology, oh gosh, this technology is 40 or 50 years old now. And so we have the ability to create massive earthquakes along with massive tsunamis with HAARP and with our space-based weaponry, especially with the kinetic energy weapons that we have, along with the Tesla weapons that we have, the microwave energy weapons. So if they're going to be doing these big drills, there's no, don't you remember they were doing the drills in the Midwest about 8 years ago or 7 years ago that the Mississippi River was going to blow its banks and run over and flood the farmlands, and FEMA was already there in place in case that happened?
Yeah.
Are you joking me? Are you joking me? And so the government does this kind of junk all the time. They love setting up drills and having it go live right in the middle of it. I mean, think about this. We were doing a 9/11 drill on 9/11. I mean, are you joking? Does anybody really believe that was coincidental with the Boston bombing marathon? So that's the problem that we run into repeatedly with all of this stuff. The government knows what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and sometimes they have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to find out in advance what they're going to do. Now, whether they discharge an earthquake weapon up in the Northwest causing tsunamis, I have no idea. I know the Ring of Fire is very, very unstable up there. I know what happened with Japan. A lot of people believe that's what happened with the Japan earthquake a few years ago that caused Fukushima. It was a discharge either of a nuke, underwater nuke, or it was another, you know, it was a geological earthquake weapon. Now, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. Gosh, I mean, the guys who did it are probably dead anyhow, because they don't, the guys who get involved with this stuff, they're not going to let them around talk afterwards. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And so it's just, you know, that's why so many scientists and biochemists and researchers, and they start getting kind of curious as to what's going on and start asking too many questions. They suddenly get choked out in the middle of the night, or their car goes off a cliff, you know, or they die of a mysterious heart attack with a puncture wound on their body, or they have had their heart explodes from a microwave weapon. That technology exists. The heart attack weapon has been around since the 70s, for heaven's sakes, and they had congressional hearings which actually showed one of these crazy things. And, you know, and I set the videos out before. So, guys, listen to me. When they start telegraphing what they're going to do or saying what they're going to do, Austin's right. Just have a bug-out bag. Just be ready, especially during the time of the drill, because these guys, they don't care about you, they don't care about me, they don't care about Austin or anybody else. All they do is care about themselves and how much money they can make. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And quite frankly, there's too many right now. They want to depopulate the planet, and they're doing their best efforts to do so. And think about this. How effective would that be if there was a massive, massive explosion or drill or earthquake or tidal wave to suspend the fall election?
Oh, yeah. No,
there you go.
Yeah, and it would also be, too, right around that time they're going to do the drill is right around when the California primary is going to be held as well. So,
well, because
again,
one,
I mean,
yeah,
have just really random occurrences here. And like I said, again, I mean, and it's not abnormal for California to have natural earthquakes either. So that's an even further reason to be prepared in that extent, because, I mean, that's a very volatile crust system over there. In other news, too, silver charts, as far as I was looking at them the other day, and we've just been going off the charts what the actual purchase of gold, of silver eagles and maple eagles silver in the past couple of years, and actually our production is continuing to wane down in the United States and Canada. You keep seeing the, you know, we talked about it before, the naked shorts and silver and gold. And again, silver's back up again today at like 1730, 1740 an ounce, pushes back up. And back in 2014, the total silver production in the United States and Canada was right at 53 million ounces. However, the total amount of silver eagles and silver maples sold was 73 million ounces. There was a 20 million ounce deficit in the United States and Canadian production. Fast forward to 2015 now, it's getting even more serious. The numbers finally came in, a total of 81.3 million ounces of silver eagles and maple eagles that sold total in 2015. 81 million silver ounces. In the United States and Canada, our total production dropped to 47 million. Now we're starting to push past almost 35 million ounce deficit as of last year, which means we're having to import a significant amount, or we're using reserve silver on hand to try and keep up with supply, which means if this trend continues to occur, mark my word on it, there's no question about it. If this trend continues and the amount of silver eagles and silver maples continue to be purchased at this number and production goes this low, physical cost of silver and gold will have no choice but to go up, especially for actual physical metal. Now, the paper market, they still like to manipulate that to a pretty heavy extent, but there's only going to be so far they can manipulate that if everybody starts taking physical delivery when people realize that we're actually running on a significant deficit every year. I don't know the numbers for this year, obviously, until later on, you know, for a while, but as we see, the trend has been going up. And so, like I said, guys, I mean, I told you a couple months ago when it was at $14 an ounce, buy some silver. Now, you know, we're looking at, they're $4.15, $4.20 a tube I looked at today online. You know, a couple months ago when I was buying them, they were at $3.60. I mean, that's $60 right there on each tube, just $60 a pop. I mean, doing nothing, just storing silver. So, again, that's my take on it. You guys can do what you want with it, but I thought I would address that again today to give you guys some real, true, honest opinion on what's going on with the metals, because you don't see much honest stuff in the paper markets at all.
No, one more thing about the election with Trump and this earthquake thing in California. Here's the thing, guys. They really don't want Trump as president. I mean, really, the Bush is against them. Paul Ryan's against them. You know, I mean, Cruz is still running around with that god-awful ugly face of his, you know, just talking and just running his mouth. And the Canadian Cruz, I should say. And the thing about it is, guys, I mean, this is not good. This whole thing is not good at all. This thing is not, they don't want Trump. And and I personally believe, and I can't give you a day because I don't know for sure if it's going to happen, but I believe with like a 70-30 possibility of 70 of it happening, they're going to do a big false flag in the fall or in the summer, and they're going to try to disrupt this entire election cycle. And so we've just got to pray to God. I mean that very sincerely. I'm not being facetious because I pray every day. We've got to pray to God to protect Trump and to thwart their plans, because there's enough people in the military now who are awake and who know what's going on. They don't have to do this. Remember a couple of years ago, one of those nukes disappeared out of Texas off one of the bases, just disappeared. And then Lindsey Graham was running around squawking, yelling about Charleston Harbor being blown up by a nuke. And, you know, it kind of blew the whistle on it. And suddenly, you know, we have a huge earthquake or discharge of some explosive under the water, you know, off the coast in the Atlantic. I mean, you guys remember that. Look it up. And, you know, some people believe that was that nuke that had gone off, that the admirals that had that stuff decided they weren't going to do what they were being told to do, and they just discharged it at the bottom of the ocean. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. It could be more internet idle speculation. But we got some wicked people up there in Washington, guys, and they don't care if they kill people or if they take people out. They don't care. They're not dealing. See, here's the problem with these sociopaths that we have in the White House and in Congress right now. Their brains aren't like our brains. I mean, you know, we trust people because we're trustworthy. We tell the truth because we expect other people to tell us the truth. That's not what these guys do. These guys never stop lying. They never stop plotting. They don't care if they kill 10,000. 100,000 or a million, they don't care. They like doing stuff like that because they get off on it, because they're sick. And so we have to understand that's their mindset. It's the same thing that Ted Gunderson uncovered back in the 90s with the human sacrificial networks that were taking place in California. These people really do sacrifice human beings while they're still alive and torture them and everything else. And they do these things to these people because they get off on it, because they feed the demon entities with this energy. This is what they do. So if you think these people who are capable of doing those types of horrible things or be involved in all this crazy witchcraft like Hillary Clinton is in, if you think these people have any kind of moral compass around them, they have no moral compass. They don't pray to Jesus Christ. They pray to Lucifer. This is what they do. They don't pray to the Most High God. They pray to Lucifer. And they do his bidding because he's their father. You know, Jesus called a bunch of them out of the New Testament in the book of John. And see, that's what you've got to understand. It's the synagogue of Satan. It's the Bilderberger groups. It's the Bill Gates. These guys don't go to church on Sunday morning and praise and worship God. See, that's the difference between us and them. So we have the authority because of our covenant with God, because the covenant we have through the Holy Spirit in being with God in his dimension. He shared with us his omnipotence, his omnipresence, omnipotence. He shared part of that with us. That's why we have authority over these evil ones. That's why we need to stand in the aggregate and pray. Like right now, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for Donald Trump and I pray for this country. Father, anything they're trying to do, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I bind it. I station angels around Trump. I put a hedge of thorns around him. I plead the blood of Christ over him, Lord. And Father, I bind anybody right now trying to disrupt these elections or to cause these earthquakes or do anything bad to these people or to do a false flag. I bind it and I pray that your angels disrupt these plans. that they cannot get it done, Lord. I pray this right now, Father, in Jesus' name. That's how we all have to agree. We have to pray. And we do that every single day. They have no authority against us. When the vampire walks up to your room and he taps on the door and says, can I come in? The answer is no. It's just no. You say no, you can't come in. I'm slamming the door in your face, and you slam the door in his face. You don't give them the authority over you. That's part of their lesser magic, their white magic, they call it. They have to tell you what they're going to do to you. Then they don't, if you don't try to stop them in the spiritual realm, they figure they have permission to do it. And they do it. That gives them that cuts back on the bad karma on the other side and their weird way of looking at things to allow them to do all this stuff to us. The answer is no, you may not come into my house. No, you have no authority over me. No, you may not do that. No, the answer is no, you may not do that, period. No, that's what we have to do. We've got to stand in the aggregate together, especially our listeners on this show. You've got to believe with me and Austin. You've got to pray with us. You've got to believe this. And if we can all do that together, and we can get the mass of people out there that are asleep, that are Christians, to realize the authority they have in Christ Jesus, Austin, we can change the planet. And we can change it almost instantaneously. We can change it in days. In days, we can change it. But we've got to wake up. And that's what the demons from hell and all of these weirdos are scared of, that Christians are going to wake up and they're going to realize who their God is, what authority we have through Christ Jesus, who our covenant was with, and we can stop all of this nonsense. That's what we have to do. We have to believe God. We're going to stop all the nonsense, and we're going to bind it in the name of Jesus. And that's what we just did. So guys, thanks for praying with me. Go ahead, Oz.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're starting to see now with such a pushback from the vaccine manufacturers, from Monsanto, from all these guys, because they're getting so much flack now on everything, and a large percentage of the American population starting to wake up and realize that, hey, we don't want to be forcibly vaccinated with known toxins. We don't want to eat GMO food. We don't want to breathe chemtrails. We don't want to drink fluoride water. People are starting to wake up to that, and you're right, that's absolutely scaring the satanic elite, because the sheeple are no longer asleep anymore. They're beginning to awaken, and that's the biggest thing they're scared of, and that's why, in my opinion, they're trying to push this stuff so hard now and trying to prevent all these positive things from happening, because it's starting to move so quickly, and I think they were expecting their timeline to go a little bit slower so they could get more stuff done in a longer time period. But another story, now this is interesting. Mexico is refusing to take in Cuban migrants, revealing the hypocrisy of Mexican officials as they attack Trump's immigration policies. The Cubans have been stranded in Panama after Nicaragua closed its border last year, preventing them from traveling north to the U.S. So the Panama government asked Mexican officials if they could simply fly the Cubans to the south of the U.S. into Mexico. The airlift's announcement was followed with word Monday that Panama would close its southern border with Colombia to Cubans without visas, underscoring how Panama and Nicaragua protect their borders better than the U.S. Mexico won't take in Cuban migrants and expects the U.S. to do so, despite the fact that Cubans would likely have an easier time culturally assimilating into another Latin American country. It also is revealing how Mexican politicians refusing to help Cuban migrants while simultaneously attacking Trump for proposing a border wall, acting in the, if the U.S. doesn't do enough for illegals, is completely and totally contradictive. And it's true, because it's funny how everybody always wants America to do this, to do that, to give free money here, do this, help everybody out. But then when anybody else asks another country for any type of support, help, or backup, like, I mean, Saudi Arabia, perfect example, they won't take in any Muslim migrants at all. I think the last report that came out is they'd accepted like 21 Muslim migrants in the last year. 21. That's it. That's all they're doing.
They don't want them. Yet, now Czech Republic is now saying they're not going to take any more in. Hungary said yesterday they're not going to be charged €250,000 apiece, and they're not going to take any more in. They're basically saying, screw you people, we're not going to do this. The devil's knocking at the door. We're saying no. No, 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 no. We don't want this. We have no interest. Czechoslovakia, this is an article from Kurt Nemo. He goes, according to Czech officials, an anonymous phone call said 10 bombs were planted at the central rail station in Prague and other stations across the locations across the country. Additional evacuations have been taking place in the cities of I can't pronounce them. Czech President Milo Zeman is an outspoken critic of the European Union's plan to flood the continent with illegal immigrants from the Middle East, North North Africa. I am profoundly convinced that we are facing an organized invasion and not a spontaneous movement of refugees. I believe that too, and I believe it's being sponsored by George Soros. That's my comment right there. Then he just goes on to say, he said during a Christmas message, he also said Muslim migrants would impose Sharia law. Duh! That's what they believe. A large majority of the illegal immigrants are young men in good health and single. I wonder why these young men are not taking up arms to go fight for freedom in their countries against the Islamic State, he added. Well, it's because they're doing it here. They're coming into Europe to do it. See, here's what you have to understand here. This is planned. It's the planned destruction of Europe. They want to destroy Europe. Now, you listen to me, you people who are listening to me over there in Europe or in the United States right now. You get these radical Muslims in here, and they want to put in Sharia law. You know, Sharia law is a hand for a hand and an eye for an eye. You know, you're going to be having a bunch of people running around without hands and without eyes. And you're going to have a bunch of women getting raped if they don't wear the right kind of clothes. Now, you stupid trendies who don't understand that, who want to bring all these Muslims in, like that poem, The Snake, that I read to you that Donald Trump did a few months back, you don't understand something. These people are not going to be your friend once they get in power. They're going to impose Muslim Sharia law on you. That's their stated goal. And once they get the population high enough, they're going to do it. I mean, Muslim just elected their first, London just elected their first Muslim mayor. I mean, are you kidding me? Because they've been outvoted now because the Muslims are voting for the Muslims. See, guys, we can't allow this to happen. I mean, remember this. You know, the Barbary pirates. I mean, this is the thing. The Pope built this huge wall to protect the Vatican against the Barbary pirates. The Barbary pirates are a bunch of Muslims. You know, from the shores of Tripoli. That's when we went in with the Marine Corps song to get rid of these Barbary pirates, the Muslims that were invading coastal cities, and also the pirating. I mean, this has been going on for a long, long time. It was in 1492 when Queen Isabella was handed the keys to Alhambra in Spain, and the Muslim horde was driven out of Europe. And now here it is, 500 years later, we're doing it again. Except this time we're not doing it, we're inviting them in. We're paying them to come over, and we're giving them money. Are you joking me? Let the Muslims stay in their own countries. And I'm not saying that good Muslims who want to come in moderate amounts, who basically want to incorporate themselves in our culture, can't come to the United States or any other parts of Europe. But 10 million in the pipeline coming into Europe at once, and Obama bringing them in by the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, by the train load into the United States, and by the plane load. Are you joking me? This is not okay. There's no part of this okay. This is planned war. They're trying to turn the Muslims against the Christians, and they're trying to fund them and give them armament to do it. That's what this whole thing with ISIS is all about, and it's going to spread from that region into Europe and all throughout, you know, throughout the entire planet, which is what their goal is. That's why we have to say no. The devil's knocking at the door. How about no? How about no, you go back? How about let's do what Czechoslovakia and Hungary did? How about let's put Donald Trump in and build a wall and stop this stinking invasion from the south, and we have open borders now. Oh, that's why they do know that. That's what Cloward and Piven is all about. They want to destroy our country through the social welfare system. What was Obama's last speech? I think you may have seen it, Austin, the other day, to the press clubs or whatever they had. He said he can see that the end of the republic is near. The end of the republic is near. He's joking about that, talking about the United States. I mean, God, what an SOB. Excuse my language. I mean, he's talking about the end of the republic at the press conference. Are you joking me? And that's what he wants to do? I mean, it's unbelievable to me that this guy's in the White House, that this whole mess has happened under his tutelage and all these executive orders he's forced on us, and that people go every night and go to sheep and think it's okay. Well, guess what? We don't think it's okay anymore, and we're not going to put up with it anymore, and no, you may not come in. How about that? And that's what we've got to do. Stand in the aggregate in prayer. Prayer changes everything. Prayer is a scalar wave. It changes the very physical foundations and the physical reality of the holographic universe that we live in. It changes everything because it's an energy wave. That's why prayer is such a terrifying thing to these guys, because once they know that Christians know who they are and the ability they have to pray and change things, they know the game's over. Guys, let's make that game over as quickly as we can for these guys. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, and it almost seems as if, you know, the European Union is starting to almost fracture apart. I mean, with Slovakia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, now all collectively saying that they want to basically stop this massive migrant influx. I mean, I don't know if any other countries are going to join in with them, but now that's four you know, solid countries in the European Union. I mean, that's not, you know, one anymore, two. I mean, now it's starting to, they're starting to band together, which this is going to be interesting because you're going to start having this almost rift of fracturing apart of these group, this giant European Union over there now, saying, you know, you're not going to tax us for these guys. You're not going to make us take any more in. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen in the near future. But this is interesting. This is a bit of a skewed number, but I wanted to give you guys my honest take on it because it just shows you how recklessly we keep just completely wasting money away and focusing our money in all these different directions that are completely useless. This report is from Hillary Russ. It says America will fall $1.4 trillion short on what it needs to spend on infrastructure through the next decade. A gap that could strip.
Awesome. That's the F-35 budget.
No, I know. That's what I was about to get to in a second. They said on here that, you know, the nation basically from this point in time to 2025 needed about $3.3 trillion to keep its ports, highways, bridges, trains, water, electrical facilities, all up to date. And as of right now, they only have $1.8 trillion, and they need $3.2 trillion. And my response to that was kind of funny because I'm looking at it and I'm going, wait a minute, we're just F-22, you know, the F-35, we're literally spending hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars on these projects. Shoot, over the next 9 years, we'll spend almost $400 billion just on foreign aid. Just on foreign aid, sending money to countries that don't do anything for us, almost $400 billion of that, which that right there is almost a quarter of what we needed as far as left. So what's so funny about this is it goes into detail about how, like, oh, we don't have the funds for this, and we don't have the funds for that, and it's going to strip 2.5 million jobs and $4 trillion out of GDP. But what's so interesting is it doesn't discuss this article on how we're just frivolously spending money on stuff like you mentioned, on the F-35 Raptor, $36 billion a year in foreign aid, and a plethora of other things that we don't even need to be spending money on instead of focusing our money here, building infrastructures, highways, you know, ports, water facilities, getting the lead pipes out of Flint, Michigan. I mean, that's just one idea right there. And it's just interesting to me how they always try and obfuscate from the truth in some of these media articles instead of really addressing why we don't have the money. Why don't we look exactly what we're spending the money on that we could be allocating to the money for all the American population that's paying money in taxes that deserves to drive on proper infrastructure, highways, and have, you know, water treatment plants.
Well, think about it, Austin. It's the bankers again. The bankers, yeah. Again, we mentioned this the other night, 95% of the money that was supposed to go to Greece, hundreds of billions of dollars, went to the bankers, went to the bankers' pockets, back to the banks. Didn't go to Greece. 95% went to the bankers. See, this is what it all boils down to. If you read the book, Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People by Shelton Emery, which was written back 35 years ago, it's a free book online. You can get it. Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People by Shelton Emery. You can understand what they're doing. I mean, it's always about the banks getting more and more and more money. More and more contract deals through Xerox, through Halliburton. Bankers, 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 bankers. Money, money, money. They don't think about the fact that the whole country's falling apart. Look at Italy. Italy's in a mess. Like I said the other night, you float between pothole to pothole. You get lost from one to the other. And, you know, it's just the suspension on the cars get wrecked. The cars get wrecked. I mean, we saw multiple motorcycles. People, probably fatalities, we don't know, just wrecked on the side of the road because, you know, the roads are so bad, the traffic is so guts crazy down there in Rome. It's ridiculous. And I mean, it's nuts to me that, you know, we didn't see a whole bunch more accidents in Rome. It's the nuttiest place I've ever driven in my whole life. I don't ever want to drive there again. And the infrastructure is completely falling apart. There's no lines on the roads. Just you got a one lane road. They turn it into a three lane road, Austin. Okay, and if you don't leave enough room for the motorcycles to come up in front of you at the red light, they hit you with their handlebars and score the car and scratch it. So you got to stay back 20 feet from the red light because you got to leave at least 3 feet of clearance on your car on the left hand side, so all the motorcycles can fly around you at 40 miles an hour at the red light and pile in front of you. They don't have any rules, no regulations. But again, Italy has been completely and totally raped by the international monetary funds with loans that don't go to Italy. That's why the infrastructure is falling apart. And these tollways are the only decent highways in Italy. and they rape you on the fees on the toll rates. And the reason they do that is because, again, the bankers own the toll roads. Have you ever asked, have anybody ever asked you, listen to me, friends, has anyone ever asked you, would you like to invest in a toll road in your area? Would you like to invest in the local infrastructure of a toll road to get money paid to you forever and ever, amen, from tolls? You never get that offer. You never get that offer. Nobody's been given that offer. This is all insider stuff through the banking communities as they buy the roads and force us to pay for them and let the other roads get so bad that nobody wants to drive on the other roads because it damages their vehicles. It's the money in the bank. We have a thing called the Polk Parkway here where we are in Central Florida. They built it years ago, and they told us, they said, as soon as the Polk Parkway gets done, we're going to take all the tolls down. Remember that, Austin? They haven't took a toll off that thing yet. It costs more. And it paid for itself within just a few years, the entire highway structure. So where is all those hundreds of millions of dollars going now that built that thing, and why won't they basically turn it back over to the people? They don't want to do it. Because a lot of the cities and the municipalities, they're not willing to try to maintain anything. They just want to make us pay for it all, and the bankers continue to just pour in these profits. I want to know how to invest in a toll project. You guys, if you know how to do that, send me an email. I don't know how to do it. I've never been offered a toll project. Have you, Austin?
No. Well, we talked about it before when they were doing the parkway. You know, we even tried to look into it, and nobody would talk about it anywhere. You talk to, you know, local county. Nobody was, we don't have information on that at the time. We don't know what it does. That time. We don't have any information on this. And it's like, well, why don't you talk to the people that this is going to directly affect? Why don't you talk to the local people in Polk County that are going to be around this area? Why don't you see if anybody else wants to invest in it and own a certain percentage of the toll road? You know, and exactly like you said, actually maybe make money while, you know, obviously they're continuing to collect funds on it. They're continuing to take tolls on it. So why don't they give the option to all the locals that actually utilize it and keep the toll road in business and making money, the option to make a small amount on it? Because the truth about it is, even if you let a majority of the people know around here, you're not going to get anywhere near the amount of money it takes to build the entire toll road, but it would still give the option to the people of like, hey, that's cool, I want to invest in that, you know, I'll put a $500 in this, I'll put $1,000 in this, or have a minimum buy-in and allow people in the area to actually support it and grow something like that, and then in the future, you know, make a small profit off of it and increase the economy and help people in that area make more money off simply by supporting everybody coming together and being a team, because that's simply what it's about, is being a team, and you know.
And that's why we think. Thank you for your support of Health Masters. We do. And we thank you for praying with me, too. That means a lot more than anything else. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for signing up for our free newsletters. Thank you for buying your vitamins from us and not getting them from other vitamin companies. Thank you for that. We have the highest quality supplements in the world. Try them. If you don't like them after 30 days, send them back to us. We'll give you a refund on them. That's how confident we are these products are that good. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow I'll be back in Germany, back on the Autobahn, so I can drive a little bit faster. Switzerland's so anal about their speed limits. You can't go even a mile an hour over. You get a bunch of tickets in the mail. So it'll be good to get out of Switzerland and back into Germany again. So we love you. We appreciate you. And thank you for your support. And thank you for listening. Go ahead and close.
Yes, we appreciate it, guys. And also, too, I sent an email out today. We listen to your votes. That's why we have our product of the week voting option on the front page of the website. Magnesium Body Balm, which is an incredibly awesome product that goes well with the sports oil as well. That product was voted. It's on sale this week until next Wednesday. It's on sale for over 15% off. That's a huge discount considering the fact this product has jojoba oil in it, and it's not cheap to make at all. You guys love the product. You voted it just massively out of everything else. So I want to let you guys know that. It is on sale right now. Get it for a week. And if you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. We appreciate it. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.